Oh my god, why'd I start the pod coughing? Hello people, it is Griff's Brain Dump and it's me, Griff, obviously. How you doing? It's episode 357. And how are you doing? How's it going? It is Tuesday. It's Tuesday the what? The 12th of March. Tuesday 12th of March. Well, how's your week been? How's things been going for you guys? What have I done since I last spoke to you? I joined Ori Stardust Tour, doing tour support. Went Chelmsford on Friday, then Salisbury on Saturday. I guess it was a church before, it was a cathedral. It was just a beautiful building. One of the best venues I've ever been in. So picturesque. And very interesting people in the front row. A thruple. Mate, a real life thruple. Hey, how about that? Expanding my horizons. Did that. Then Sunday was Mothering Sunday. The family went to the Science Museum, which I didn't know. I was happy I wasn't arrogant about it. So we got to South Kensington. Well, before we got to South Kensington, I was like, oh, we need to put on the rain cover on. She's like, no, we don't, because you can just walk through the tunnel. So what are you talking about? Because there's a tunnel from South Kensington Station to the museum. So I was like, that makes no sense. It's a 5-minute walk. Yeah, that makes no sense. That doesn't exist. You've made that up. She goes, no, I'm pretty sure. I've taken kids here on school trips before. I'm pretty sure there's a tunnel. I was like, I can't say there isn't. But I'm just saying I've been to this station multiple times. I've never seen anything that looks remotely like a tunnel. Like, it's not a big, expansive station. That doesn't make sense to me. Tutus, now we get to the station, and there's a tunnel. Right there. And luckily for me, I didn't go too hard in proclamation that there was no tunnel. And it was easy for me to go, oh, shit, there's a tunnel. And now I know. And now I will act like that was my knowledge, and I've always known this. Same way that someone at work told me, you know, like the intensity on coffee pods. So, you know, the Italian words, and they go, it's intensity 7. Oh, but you want intensity 12. I found out that's nothing to do with caffeine content. I thought, oh, it's just stronger coffee. It's just flavour. It's just a bolder flavour of coffee. And that's what the intensities are. And that's why decaf, it could be a 7 or an 8 or whatever, because it's just intensity of flavour. Which makes perfect sense. Otherwise, all decafs would be 0 intensity, right? And then, what else did I learn? Then, the numbers on the toaster. I always thought it was intensity of toasting. Then someone told me, it's the minutes. But then I found out, no, it's actually intensity of toast. It's not minutes. Obviously, it's slightly longer the more you go up, but it's not a minute difference. So just teach you just new things, guys. Don't say this podcast isn't educational. You're learning shit. But what's been going on in the world, because, you know, my life has been all right. What's going on in the world? What's on the timeline? Well, no real order. Let's just talk about Levi Roots, Celebrity Big Brother. Haven't watched it. Saw that ZZ almost got kicked out, or almost got voted out, or almost got part for nomination. I don't know, one of those things. And then people said, it's racist. I was like, I haven't watched it, so I don't even know. No, I've got quite a high bar for racism. And I'm always, you know, hesitant to call someone a racist, especially when there's other things you can call them. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta understand, black and brown people, racism's bad for us. To call someone else a racist isn't like the big old slam dunk you might think it is. Most people get called racist or simply go, no, I'm not, and that's it. that's it for them. It's done. I'm a racist. Done. Don't need to prove myself. Not a racist. And, I just think, you know, just voting someone out then becomes a thing where you can never vote them out. because they're black, or they're a woman, like you can't vote them out. And I haven't watched the show, so I don't want to go too, oh, it can't possibly be racist. Maybe it was, but I'm saying, like, Louis Walsh and Sharon Osbourne, like, they've got so much about them that you can just take the piss out of. Go for that instead. Don't make an accusation about something that might be in their head. Just make an accusation about something that's, you know, on their face. On their face. But also, but yeah, I just know Zizi's in the house. I think she's going to do well from the show. Because, like I said, the views piss off, I guess, the political left and goes black people. But Middle England, I think a lot of her views will align with a lot of Middle England. If they edit her properly in the sense of, you know, hearing her talk about certain things. She's quite an opinionated lady. I think she'll do pretty well. I think this will be her crossover moment. But yeah, always find it interesting when, you know, black, I guess black celebs, famous ones, as Dane Baptiste says, the ones who are famous because in the blacks UK sphere, how they cross over. Because for some people, it's like, you can see it. It's like, oh, they just don't hang around this many white people or non-black people. And it's like a struggle. And they change. You can see they're changing that, like, they behave and the way they move. And there's other people just like, nah, this is me. This is how it is. And it's almost as if when they get selected for these things, they pick someone who's either so away from it that it's going to be a massive jarring thing and there's going to be conflict. They're going to be someone who's so into it that, you know, they'll easily be, coined a coconut of some sort. And then, the ratings booster is either seeing someone who's so out of their comfort zone that they... You're literally witnessing someone have a mental breakdown on TV. or the coconut gets real. And people are like, oh shit, I thought he was a nice person. Now he's a bit of an arsehole, he is. He's all aggressive. That's what happens on TV. So you just got, when you get books for TV stuff, you've got to just be focusing on the bag, or you've got to, have your third, fourth, fifth eye open. Just head on a swivel. Always think about what it looks like from different angles. Got to be savvy. Got to be a politician to be black on TV. And but Levi Roots, he's the one who seems to be taking the headlines on my timeline. He's got 8 kids from 7 different women. The eldest is, I think, in the late 20s. Youngest is 1. And he was on TV bemoaning the relationship with his 2 of his daughters, saying that they've cut him off and they've said bad things about him, and he's just hoping one day that, you know, they'll reach out to him, saying that he's a bad father. And everyone in the house was like, oh, Levi. And my thing is this. Usually, whenever there is, I think I've said this on the pod before, whenever there is a fallout between parents and child, it's usually something the parent has done wrong. I'm telling you, just 9 times out of 10, in my experience, when parent and child fall out, it's usually something that the parent has done wrong. And if you really want to go around the houses, it's almost 100% of the time the parent's done something wrong. Because if the kids are fuck up, they grew up in your house, so that's your fault. But sometimes it's a thing of parent-child, messed up dynamic growing up. Child gets older, realises, yo, I'm an adult. I've got kids of my own now. And do you know what? You're a prick. That can happen. That the dynamics of parent-child, authority, follower, you know, leader-follower, that kind of dynamic. And when you realise you don't actually know what you're doing. I think every adult gets that stage where they look at their parents and realise you actually didn't know what you were doing when you was raising me. And then you can go down 2 different paths when you make that realisation. That realisation, you really didn't know what you was doing. And it's, do you know what though? respect, because you did a great job, and I should have been more understanding when those few occasions where you didn't get it right. That's what can happen as an adult. You realize, oh, you're just a flawed human being, just like me, just like my friends. And then you have a more of a sympathy for your parents. Or it goes the other way, where you look back, it's like, you didn't know what the fuck you were doing. You're a full idiot. You know what I mean? You made all the wrong decisions. Every decision you made was wrong. You're an arsehole. And that's what can happen. The only reason I didn't think you was an arsehole, because you're my mum, you're my dad. But now I'm older, you're a prick. And you know what I mean? And that's what can happen. So unfortunately for me, when I got older, and I just realised my mum was flawed, at no extreme level, just on a human level, just had her own idiosyncrasies. She's not this perfect being who's my mum. You know what I mean? She's a human being. And I was like, right. Then I look back and say, you do what? You did a proper good job. Salute. And that's what it is. So what I'm saying is, 9 times out of 10, when parents fall out with a kid or kid falls out with parents, usually parents done something wrong. And so it's something wrong. And I say, it's the other case where the kid hasn't given their parents any leeway. You know, the kids are spoiled. But that's it. Usually what happens is the kids spoil, and it's because the parents spoil them. Because the parents would be like, yeah, it's just very rare where it's the kid is in the wrong. Completely in the wrong. Because, yeah. I just haven't seen it where, you know, it's like parents lay down the law or cut off a child. See, again, it's usually, yeah, you can say you shouldn't cut off your children, but usually it's the child's done something wrong because they've continued to do stuff wrong because the parent didn't put the discipline in, they weren't around when they were young. You know what I mean? It's all that stuff. So anyway, so when that came out, before I even read the background to it, I was like, I want to see what the kids have got to say. And lo and behold, the daughters came out, half-sisters, obviously. And they was like, hey, listen, cry all you want on TV. I helped you make the damn sauce. I quit my job. I worked for you for free, thinking that I was a partner in this. I know the secret ingredients into this sauce. I know the recipe. And when you got your investment from Dragon's Den, you cut me off. And then the other sister came along and went, ditto. Same thing for me. So now you're like, hold on. So you weren't, and they're saying it wasn't really around as growing up and stuff as well. So it's just like, bruv, own your shit. Own your shit. No, so I am talking from a place of privilege because I live with my children. I'm with my wife, their mother. I don't have to navigate co-parenting. I don't have to navigate, not being able to see my kids all the time and stuff. I don't have to navigate that. Or falling out with their mum. I don't have to navigate that. Fine. But it could happen. It could happen, and I look, if it did happen, if we ever split up, I mean, granted, yes, I'd want Naomi to have custody of the children because kids are annoying, but I'd see him. I definitely wouldn't see him as often as I see him now because I live with him, but I'd see him. And you just make sure you do right by your kids. You know what I mean? You just make sure you do right by them. And but if you have 8 kids by 7 different women, it's hard to spread your time, you know, because it's hard to give time to your kids when you're flipping live with them. So to have time for your kids and it's spread all over London. Jesus. You got to keep on banging, you know what I mean, women in the same area, same postcode. Saturday is kids' day. You're just driving around like an Uber. But having that many kids as well, that means you can never have your own place and have kids. Your kids stay over. Because that's one thing that I'd always have in my head, is that I'd have to sort out my life or my finances in a way that my kids have rooms at wherever I live. So whether that's a thing of I have to move further out and I have a 3-bedroom house, or it's a 2-bedroom house and it's actually their room, and when they're not there, I'll sleep in that room. But when they come in, change the bed, I sleep downstairs. Who knows? But I'd make it work where they come and they feel at home. It's not a thing of they're like, oh, I'm at my dad's place and I can't wait to go home. No. You know what I mean? You just got to do it properly. You just got to sort your life out, man. That's why I see it. I don't know. It's just the examples I've seen in my life where guys have split up with the woman. I've got a few where they haven't done it well. I've got a few where they've done everything that I think you should do. You know, to a point of they've moved jobs so they live nearer to their kids. Kids at school going age now, so it's like, well, I've got to move closer to there. I like being in London, but I've got to move out to wherever it is, where it's like Hertfordshire, Buckinghamshire, all the shires. They go, yeah, that's where my kid lives, so that's where I'm moving to. I'm near the train station so I can get into London and I can drive, but yeah, this is where I am now. And you have to be like, yeah, respect that. Respect it, hats off to you, man, completely. And that's what it's got to be. Can't be,
oh, it's long, you know.
I'd have to stay living in Hertfordshire. I'd be so annoyed because I would want to just move into London. But I'd have to stay living in Hertfordshire. I couldn't be far away from them. I don't know. But touch wood. Touch wood. That will not be my reality. So it's all good. It's all good. But yeah, shout out Levi, man. But it's a shame that that's the... I saw some people say, you know, that's the representation of a black man on TV. So annoying. Yeah, I think as black people, we're always a bit like on edge in it about our representation on TV. Don't embarrass us. There's still not enough of us on TV where we could just relax and be like, oh, you know, some people are pricks, some people aren't. We're always like, we're rooting for you. Don't fuck it up. But listen, people, it doesn't matter what you do. You could be one of the longest running black female MPs. You could be one of the first, if not the first. I think she's the first MP. I'm talking about Diane Abbott. I'm not even talking about Diane Abbott. I'm talking about Frank Hester, OBE, the biggest donor to the Conservative Party, saying racism. Listen, this man's... I've got to read the article and the statement together because it was mind-blowing to me. It was some of the best and worst at the same time PR. So, let's go, let's find it. Come on, don't let me down, internet. Find it. So, The Guardian has learned of a 2019 meeting at TPP's headquarters in which Hester spoke about the executive from another organisation saying, she's shit, she's the shittest person. Honestly, I try not to be sexist, but when I meet somebody like the executive, I just... It's like trying not to be racist, but you see Diane Abbott on the TV and you're just like, I hate you. I just want to hate all black women because she's there. And I don't hate all black women at all, but I think she should be shot. The executive and Diane Abbott need to be shot. She's stupid. If we can't get the executive being unprofessional, we can get her sacked. It's not as good as her dying. It would be much better if she died. She's consuming resources. She's eating food that other people could eat, you know? That's what he said. And then he was... what else did he say? That's it. That's what he said. Now, his response, and I haven't listened to the radio today, but apparently the Tory MPs and voters have come out defending Frank Hester, of course, that's not shocking. Frank Hester, OBE. But forget about what they're saying. What did he say himself as his apology? Now, what you got to understand about this apology? Is this. It's, if you look at his page, he talks about his... He tweets from the first person. I'll give you the previous tweets just to... And TPP is the company he runs, by the way. So, wishing everyone a happy and blessed Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak was the previous tweet. One before that, my mum is the eldest of four sisters born to an Irish family struggling to make ends meet. Family finances were so tight that they couldn't even afford to buy her school uniform. At 16 years old, she left Ireland on her own to find work in England. And he's just writing stuff about his family. basically what I'm saying is, it's all very personal. It's about his family, it's about him. Then when it came to this apology now, statement regarding recent media reports. Frank Hester accepts that he was rude about Diane Abbott in a private meeting several years ago, but his criticism had nothing to do with her gender nor colour of skin. Right, so he's spoken in the third person, one. Number two, the absolute cognitive dissonance, the denial, to be like, it's nothing to do with colour of a skin or gender, but he literally said, she makes him want to hate all black women. And he wants her shot. The shot bit, on its own, is fine. You can make threats to shoot lots of people. But if you do make highlight their race and gender, it might be something to do with their race and gender. You know? The Guardian is right when it quotes Frank saying he abhors racism. Not least because he experienced it as a child of Irish immigrants in the 1970s. Okay, listen. Irish people, I love you. I love you, dude. No blacks, no Irish, no dog. We were together, we were. No blacks, no Irish, no dog. Yeah, yeah, they don't. Fuck the English, they didn't let us into the pub. No blacks, no Irish, no dogs. And then you go to Ireland and it's just no blacks and no dogs. Now you go to Ireland, it's like, no blacks. Hey, when I come over here to London, they said no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. And I say, hey, you bang on the water, you are, let me dog in. You know what I mean? That's what it is for some of them. Some of them it is ride and die, yeah. But a lot of the times, you know what it is. It's the fact you're here, you're being treated as shit. Every immigrant who comes to the UK, right, they don't like black people. They've sipped a global racism Kool-Aid. And then they get to the UK, they realise they're dashed in with poor people and black people are dashed in with poor people. Doesn't matter if you're a doctor in your home country. Clean the toilets, my friend. No, I'm actually a scientist. Freshen up, man. I'm an engineer. Parking attendant. He don't care. Your qualifications don't mean nothing here, Tunde and Winston. Don't care. And they realise they've lumped in with all the poor people, with the black people, and they realise, oh, you're not actually that bad. You're actually all right. You see it, Eastern Europeans come over. Don't like black. Like, here's your house. Where? It's in Peckham. I'm next door to black. The black is okay. It's okay. The black is okay. You know what I mean? Next door, no. You know what I mean? Stanislav's got a trim. Anyway. So all this thing of you abhor racism that you had. I get it. I'm not saying. I mean, it's not race. You're white. So it was xenophobia, but we move. Is xenophobia kind of racism? Maybe, I don't know. Let's not get bogged down in the semantics. But yeah, I mean, at least he didn't say his best friend's black. He went, no, I've had racism too. Okay, cool. Maybe you would have thought you'd be a bit more in touch with Wagwan. Anyway. He rang Diane Abbott twice today to try and apologise directly for the hurt he had caused her and is deeply sorry for his remarks. He wishes to make it clear that he regards racism as a poison which has no place in public life. Now, two key words in this statement. Let me read them to you and let me juxtapose them so you can really see. And it's interesting that it's literally the first sentence and the last sentence. I'm going to cut it so you really feel the impact. Ready? So, Frank Hester accepts that he was rude about Diane Abbott. This is what I just read. Frank Hester accepts he was rude about Diane Abbott in a private meeting. He wishes to make it clear that he regards racism as a poison which has no place in public life. Do you hear it? Let me say it to you again. Frank Hester accepts that he was rude about Diane Abbott in a private meeting. He wishes to make it clear that he regards racism as a poison which has no place in public life. In case you didn't hear it, let me break it down for you. It was a private meeting, and he doesn't think racism should be in public life. Therefore, what he's saying is, let me be racist in my own yard, didn't it? even though he wasn't in his own yard, he was at work. He's at work. Listen, be racist in your own house. Let me play with this. Someone's racist in their own house and then they were recorded without them knowing or quoted. Would I think they should lose like their jobs or positions, or people shouldn't fuck with them? I think I'd have to say it's unfortunate you were recorded, but you're recorded now, so it is what it is. Yeah? Same way that you can do whatever you want in your own home sexually with your, you know, with your wife and your husband, yeah? But then if you do some freaky nasty shit and you record it and then that video leaks, it's now in the public. We're now judging. Oh yeah, granted, you didn't do it on the bed in the DFS showroom, but I'm saying we're here now and we can see it. We're watching, we're judging. So I think the same with this. But at work is public. That public-private line, my thing is this. As soon as I leave my house, I'm in the public. That's it. I've got to present myself in a different way. Even if I'm running stuff to the bin, I know that me stepping out of my pyjamas and boots, I look crazy. And if someone sees me and they go, wow, you look crazy, I've got to be like, wow, I'm in my own garden, shut up. Now I'm outside my house. I decided to step out like this. I had time to think. I could have put some clothes on, but I didn't. Judge me. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah. It's crazy. And it's the defense of this guy. That's the thing. It's people defending him, which I just find not shocking, but I'm just so interested that, like, people go, he's not racist. He has businesses in Malaysia, in Bangladesh. How can he be racist? Do you know what? That's a great point. Like, not, if you trade in a jurisdiction that has a racing that's different to yours, you can't possibly be racist. You can't possibly be. Yeah? It's like slavery. They're not racist. They were in Africa. How can they be racist? If they were racist, they wouldn't go to Africa. If they were racist, they wouldn't have colonised India. Hey, they would have just colonised, you know, Yorkshire. What stupid logic. But there is a fun, interesting perspective, right? That back in the colonisation days, someone was so racist. They're like, "Where? Oh, this food's delicious. Where are these spices from? India." What a lovely intricate bit of jewellery. Where did you get this precious metal from? From Africa. Oh, on your skin? From Africa? Oh, dear. Nah, it is crazy, though. It is, look. I mean, let's see. This is the Work and Pension Secretary, Mel Stride. How long is this thing? Because this is crazy. This is 21 seconds. Let's go. Let's see what he's got to say. Yeah,
that what he said was inappropriate. He has, as I understand it, apologised for those remarks. I think the critical point here is I don't think what he was saying was a gender-based or a race-based comment, but it was clearly inappropriate. He has apologised, and I think we need to move on from that.
Look. I'm someone who loves a bit of nuance, but I don't understand how someone can say this isn't race or gender based. Let me try and get on that side of the argument, because I haven't heard anyone actually explain how it's not. They just go, it's not. it's like the PR team going, just deny. Okay? Just deny. I want to hear what Kemi Badenoch's got to say, because she's the equalities minister. And this is the position you're here to play, black lady and brown people, when you're in a party like this. Understand that, especially when you're equalities minister. They've literally put you in the firing line so you could deal with all the bullshit. You need to make us look less racist, okay? So when we say something racist, you come along and you know, talk to your lot. Okay, good stuff, come in. Oh, dear. Oh dear. Nah, seriously, this country is mad. It's very, very mad. See, so the Green Party and its leader has come out in support of Diane Abbott. So yeah. So the Green Party and its leaders come out in support of Diane Abbott and the threats to her life before the... Yep, Labour and Keir Starmer haven't said anything yet. Mad. This is the crazy thing about politics. So a Tory MP, a donor, has said something about a Labour MP. And Labour are so good at fumbling the bag that they just go, rather than just jumping onto this and being like, no, disgusting, blah, blah, blah. They've slipped, tripped, fallen. Green Party have come out before them. And now it's got black people looking at Labour sideways going, really? Like, this isn't even the coded racism. This isn't the institutional racism we're talking about. This is just the blatant Ross Clark racism. I mean, Jesus. Public statement from Diane Abbott. I'm no longer a member of the Parliamentary Labour Party, but remain a member of the Labour Party itself, so I'm hoping for public support from Keir Starmer. It is mad. Where the hell are you, Labour Party? Oh, dear. It's crazy. It is great. Like, having to ask Keir Starmer for support. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy, man. But it's actually fucking mad. It's actually mad. Like, and this is the reason why I have to do comedy, because if I don't do comedy, I have to take this stuff seriously. If I take this stuff seriously, I get mad. If I get mad, I'll lose my head. I want to punch up everyone. So I've got to do comedy. Comedy stops me from murdering everyone. Okay, that's what it does. That's what it does, man. It's crazy. It is crazy. But so yeah. I mean, anyway. Let's move off that. Next thing. But what's the next one? Oh shit, there's so much going on. Catherine. Princess Kate. Catherine with her Photoshop. So if you don't, you must know what's happened with her. She hasn't been seen for a while. Conspiracy theories have gone mad. She had abdominal surgery. They said, the royal family even said, look, or Kensington Palace, you won't see her until Easter. But the internet went, nah, G. Where is she? What's happened to her? She's been killed and cloned. BBL. What's happened? Epstein. We're just saying bad things. R. Kelly. What's happened? Moon landed. Conspiracies. What's going on? And he put the pressure on so much that this woman decided to show herself before she wanted to. This woman sat up in this chair. She probably couldn't even stand. She was probably in mad pain after having abdominal surgery. She sat in this chair with her three kids. And he's like, see, look, I'm all right. And everyone goes, and it got spread around the news. And then the conspiracy theorists went, Photoshop. And I was like, all right, guys, let's just relax. And he started pointing out little bits. And I was like, not really. Like, I guess that one, not so much. That is a bit odd, that little bit. But it's not that deep, guys. And then a kill notice was put on the photo from Associated Press and Reuters. Basically, the people, they're the central like media companies. They distribute to the newspapers. And they're like, nah, this photo's been doctored. And everyone's like, told you. She's not there. And then she came out, and I thought this was a very reasonable response. She went, look, everyone tries to edit photos. I tried editing it. That's sorry for the confusion caused. I think that's a perfectly reasonable response. But in this post-conspiracy world, this post-COVID world, Occam's razor is the bluntest it's ever been. I'm telling you, man. Occam's razor is the bluntest it's ever been. If you don't know what Occam's razor is, not to be patronizing, but... Occam's razor is the theory that if you've got two explanations for an event, the one with the fewest assumptions is usually true. Yeah, that's how it goes. And that's what it is. We're in a world where the most straightforward answer, people just like, nah, no, don't believe it. Like really, when COVID happened, hey, there's a flipping virus, stay indoors. We're developing a vaccine. We were all just like, nah. Not even a real virus. Not a real vaccine. Not a real bat. Is China a real country? Get out of my face. We're like, nope. Nope. And that's how I reacted to that. And we just, Kate Fear was like, nah, not real picture. And then when the kill notes come out and said that, nah, it's like, there you go, they felt justified. Now my thing is this, is again, she said she wasn't going to be out to be around till Easter. Just don't cave to the pressure. Just rock up and be like, hi everyone, yeah, had abdominal surgery. But you are in the public eyes. You might need to give people some information. I think it's no one's business, but you know how this world is. We need information. We get information about everything, so we think we deserve it about everything. But we don't. We don't. And that's all that is. Right, last one. Last topic. Miriam Margolyes. Margolyes? Miriam Margolyes? Margolyes? Anyway. Miriam. Australian actress who was in 82-year-old Australian actress who was in Harry Potter. She's in lots of other things as well. I don't know who she plays in Harry Potter because I've never watched that show, that film. She is, I don't know who the fuck she is in the thing. But anyway, she's upset adults because she says, oh dear, I think this is flipping hilarious. She tells adult Harry Potter fans to grow up. See how funny that is. Here it is. Let's see if I can find it. Let's see if I can find the video of what she said. I've never actually heard her say it. But
I worry about Harry Potter fans because they should be over that by now. You know, I mean, it was 25 years ago and it's for children. I think it's for children. But they get stuck in it. I do cameos and people say, oh, we're having a Harry Potter themed wedding. And I think, gosh, what's their first night of fun going to be? I worry.
I do what made me laugh about this. I think that's perfectly normal because I don't even watch Harry Potter. Even though I watched Harry Potter, I would have been like, okay, it's done as a kid. It's people's reaction to it. Pure cognitive dissonance. I was like, I doubt she actually said that. I think it's like, well, she could have a go at us, but she's the one who filmed in it. She's an adult that's in the film, so I think she's worse than me. And he's like, no, she's an adult doing a job as an actor. You're an adult and you're a bloody tax accountant. And you're online going, I'm a Hufflepuff. Sort your fucking life out. I swear to God, when I was single, I posted on my Instagram, when I was single, it was an instant left swipe. It didn't matter how good looking you were. If I saw anything on your page referring to flipping Harry Potter, Hogwarts, what house you're in, all this nonsense like, oh, I'm a Gryffindor. If you're Slytherin, you might as well swipe left. Shut your damn mouth, you damn idiot. Same for you Disney people as well. You're not getting away with it. All of you. Dragon Ball Z. A whole lot of you. Everyone who enjoyed something as a kid, you're allowed to enjoy it as an adult. I'm not saying you're not allowed to enjoy it as an adult. I'm not saying you're not allowed to watch those things with nostalgia and have that whimsy when you watch it. Be like, oh, I used to love this as a kid. Star Wars, all of that. But don't come into my adult life with your kid nonsense. You're moving like a nonce. Yeah? You can use it as a play on words. You can use it as a reference, as a metaphor, right? But you can't be 38 years old and playing in your Quidditch league. What are you doing? What are you doing? People do it to me now. Griffiths, is that like Gryffindor? No. No, it's not. I'm a real-life Princess Jasmine, I am. No, you're not. You're single, darling. You're single. Grow up and find a man, please. It's disgusting. It's annoying. What is going on? Like, I feel like you're missing something in your life. I do. Like I said, I don't mind you reliving it with your kids, sharing it with your kids. I enjoyed this as a kid. I want you to enjoy it as a kid. I've seen that. I've seen adults excited to go to Disneyland with their kids. But someone said to me, there's adults going to Disneyland with no kids. And as my mate said, with the fucking ears on. They've put the ears on. There's someone else said to me, he goes, you know what I really feel sorry for? Is the people who have their identity defined by Harry Potter and then they've decided that they don't like Harry Potter because of J.K. Rowling. You don't go from doing that. You don't go from saying I'm a Ravenclaw to then going, you know what? allow this, let me go find a woman, did it? All your women are still over there in the Harry Potter space. In Azkaban. And what was the other place? See, it's mad how many references I know. Voldemort. Can't say his name. You're a wizard, Harry. See, I know all these things because it is pop culture. That's all you need to know. You can't be going around saying you're flipping what house you're in. Stop it. What house you're in. Yeah, you can't remember basic GCSE maths from school. Piss off. Get out of here. Fix up. Look sharp. It's 1.2k comments on Daily Mail on this article with her. See, look, people bother her. There's only two people interested in what she says, and she's both of them. 5 likes, no down likes. I may be an adult now, but I'll forever be a child at heart. Jesus Christ, what is wrong with people? Let's get the best rated comments. Let's get the best rated ones. Let's get the real, because this gives you the real sentiment of what people are feeling towards the article when you go to the best rated comments. All right, let's go. Come on. Oh, I said best rated. What? This hasn't got best rated at all. Come on. Jesus Christ, the internet. So Beyonce's internet is shit. Come on, Taylor Swift's internet is shit. I do what? Fuck it, I'm not bothered now. Jesus, why is that? It's so hard to do. It's because I'm on my mobile connection and my phone's trying its hardest to get me to get a new phone. I'm not falling for it, you bastard. Come on. It's horrible podding. Horrible, horrible. Here we go. Best rated. Let's see. 1.1 likes. Let me read it. I think you can still enjoy something you grew up with as an adult. It's hardly like rewatching Teletubbies. I'm 31, grew up with the books, and subsequently the films came out relevant to my school years. So resonate with aspects of the teenage-based content. I will always enjoy watching the films, and as the series goes on, they're not really child-appropriate. Actually quite dark. Their enjoyment... there's enjoyment that a whole generation of children and parents and groups grew up with the magical world. That isn't what she said, mate. So lovely justification, but that isn't what she said. Okay. Let's see. Yep, Miriam Giles is no national treasure. Who cares what she thinks? There you go. is this people just really hurt by it? As a society, we need to move away from this fixed idea that certain things are for certain ages. Listen, you pedo. Right, that's it. Right. I'm going to do Dear Deirdre later. I've got to go back to do what I was doing. But yeah, I'll get some Dear Deirdre later and that'll be the end of the pod. So see you in a bit. All right, we're back. The day after. I said I'll do it later that day. I don't think it's even within 24 hours. I can't even... put a legal loophole when I finish this podcast, but it's coming out. Shut your mouths. Anyway, Dear Deirdre, my husband is having sex with a woman 1 year older than our daughter. Oh dear. I'm just hoping that you guys are in your 60s and this woman's in her 40s. Then it's not such of a big deal. I mean, it's still not cool to be banging people your kids' age, but when your kids are old, it's like, hey, what you gotta do? Let's see. He has left me for her, but they are still living together because she still lives with her parents. Oh gosh, don't let her be a teen. So anyway, the whole story episode is so totally humiliating. No, it's not. I don't get why the person who's been cheated on feels humiliated. I don't get why that's humiliating. If Naomi cheated on me, I wouldn't be humiliated. There's no one she could cheat on me with that make me feel humiliated. You know what I mean? If it's someone who should make humiliated, you make her look like a dick. That's what I don't get. You know, like the whole like Ryan Giggs thing, smashing his brother's missus. Is the brother humiliated? because the more successful, better looking younger brother smashed your missus. Or older brother, not sure it is. No, not really. Just means your brother's a prick. That's all that matters. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make you... I don't get it. Anyway, people get embarrassed, secondhand embarrassment all the time, innit, I guess. So, we'll see. Anyway, he left me 9 weeks ago, and I still feel as if I'm grieving. I'm 54, and my husband's 56. We've been married for 27 years. The woman is 28. He only admitted he was leaving when I found him packing his bags. Jeez, what was he going to do if you didn't catch him? Where are you? On my way home. 3 days later. Where are you? Oh, traffic's been mad, you know. Anyway, he's got a small flat lined up and said he wanted to do the right thing, so was letting me stay in the family home. What a gent. The cheek of it! They met at our leisure centre, where they both went to early morning swimming, and she knew right from the start that he was married. Makes it a guilt-free crime. He has given up everything for this woman. In man gone stupid for the young woman. I have family and friends who I see most days, but I cannot shake this feeling that I don't want to be here. Oh, I don't want to live this life without my husband. Now, this bit is sad, and I fully empathise with this, right? You shouldn't be humiliated, but it definitely feels sad. Big chunk of your life, you're married for almost 30 years. This person's just gone, fat. Nah, leisure centre woman. I'm not sleeping, even though I take sleeping tablets or bought over the counter. That is mad insomnia. Because I have taken drowsiness tablets accidentally, and I could not keep my head up. So sleeping tablets, and you're still awake. Yeah, your mind's rattled. I'm awake in the early hours while terrible thoughts run around and around in my head. I think, all right, in seriousness, you need to move away from sleep tablets. You need actual, like, help. You need therapy, psychiatric help. It feels like your brain has broken. Not just your heart, but your brain has broken, because it just seems like a lot is going on. A lot is going on. So I've been distracted. Not to judge a book by its cover, but you know when you work with someone and I don't even know this person. I don't even know her to say this car doesn't suit her, but her look. This woman is driving a blacked out Audi TT. Quattro. Gold ribs. If you saw this woman, that does not look like it's her car. Fair play to her. Anyway, it has been a very long couple of months, bringing nothing but disillusion. Jesus, let's start again. I'm gonna read again. All right, let's go again. Jeez. I'm awake in the early hours with terrible thoughts going round and round in my head. It has been a very long couple of months, bringing nothing but disillusion. What can I do to move on and stop these thoughts? All right, I prematurely pulled out of the scenario. So that's what you need to do. You need to just find some help, all right? Find some proper help. Because, yeah, leaving you for a younger person. Oh, shit, talking about people getting with younger people, like Dre Michelle and Jelan Green, 22 and 39. Here's my thing about it. I had serious thoughts about it, then I thought, fuck it, forget serious thoughts. Here's my thoughts about it. He's done well there, strategically. He's done very well, the 22-year-old. Let me explain why being 22 and getting with a 39-year-old when you're an elite athlete is actually a good idea. Check this out. Here he goes. So you're 22, she's 39. She's already had kids. And she's now having more kids. She's old. 39's old. I mean, I'm 36. I'm not saying this in an age discriminatory way. I'm saying a 39-year-old woman, yeah, she's immature enough to bang a 22-year-old. But here's the thing. She's used to that basketball income. Her ex-husband's a basketball player. She needs to lock that in for another 18 years. There's no point getting 18 years of basketball income from a guy who's about to retire. Get them young while they've got a career. LeBron stretched his career out. Get your nails and claws in young. I understand her strategy. Now, this guy, get with a 39-year-old. One, he gets to do the whole cougar milf banging thing. Nice. Number two, her being 39, she's old. That means she's sensible. A sensible mum. Sensible mum, she ain't going to be going out raving and stuff. She's going to be taking care of her kids. She's done it before. She'll take care of her kids again. She knows how to do it. You don't need to watch over her. She's an experienced mum. It's not her first rodeo. She'll be fine. The kid be fine. Looked after her. Number three. All you need to give is money. Now, for the development of the child, you need to give more than money, but it's the bare minimum you need to give money. Even if you don't want to entertain this woman as a relationship, give money. You're an NBA player, you've got loads of money. Now, anything you do above that, time, attention, actual parenting skills, taking responsibility, actually just, you know, being a flipping dad, you'll be seen as a bonus. You'll be seen as maturity. People are like, wow, he's really stepped up. What a guy. Okay? And all this is doing is building into your cachet. Yep, adding value to yourself, because what's going to happen is you're 22, which in 10 years time means you'll be 32, she'll be 49, your kid will be 10, right? And by that stage, you don't even have to, you probably weren't going to be with her in that time anyway. You can start another family. Start another family with a woman that's nearer your age, yep, reproductive age. And you could just pop out some kids, do the whole committed thing, because you're grown now. You're grown. And you do your whole new family thing. And guess what? If you've got a little girl who's 10 years old, you've got ready-built childcare when she gets to 16 to look after the younger ones. Yeah. And if you've got a boy, yeah, you've got a wingman. And he gets a bit older. It's win-win. It's win. If you haven't got the money, guys, you listen to this pod and you haven't got the money, you're like not between 19 and 25, don't start bagging an older woman. Now, no. You don't have the money. You won't be able to look after the kid. You're going to have to do some real parenting there. But if she's got money, oh, change of plan. Hey, what a condoms. Horrible advice, but it's the advice I've given. I'm sticking to it. Anyway, let's get to the next Dear Deirdre, and then let's get out of here. I've chatted for not that long, but let's see. My ex and his mum have conveniently forgotten the truth about our relationship. Oh, that is abusive. That's not fun. Right, let's see. Right, two more. Here we go. Red flags. Yep, leave. Should I be worried that my husband is being secretive with his phone? Depends how he's being secretive and what you deem as secretive. Let's get some information whenever I walk the room. My husband always closes his laptop and puts his phone down. Jesus, dude. Yeah, it's not a good look. I haven't challenged him on this recently, but I'm worried about why he does this. I will say this, though. Let's take it in best faith. You got any dates coming up? Mother's Day, birthday, anniversary. Are you good with dates? Got anything like that coming up? Surprise. Because he might be trying to surprise you. It might be that. Because I'll tell you now, when I'm surprising my wife, to be fair, I don't do it often. But if I do, I try to do it at work and away from her so I don't have these moments. Let's see then. In the past, when I've confronted him, he told me he only wants me and that any suspicions I have are misplaced. I have made it clear that if I ever find out he has cheated on me, there is no way I'll put up with it. I am 43, my husband's 44, we've been married for 15 years. I know he loves me and gives me attention. We have sex regularly, so what is it with his phone? Why doesn't he stay on it if he hasn't got anything to hide? The last time he did it, I had a dream that same night. Women do not bring dreams into the conversation. It's inadmissible evidence, no matter how vivid the dream was. All right. Remember, I had one ex. She always used to bring up this dream about me kissing my ex before her, and fully leaning against her while doing it, like propping myself up to really get into the kiss. And she'd always bring it up. Love, like, this happened in your head. And I mean, it's mad disrespectful, but I didn't do it. Right, last I did this, I had a dream that same night that he was going to cheat on me. I've had dreams like this before. Is it my subconscious telling me he's cheating, or is it something he is planning? Listen, you're not clairvoyant, you nutcase. But you're okay to say you're suspicious. Maybe just ask. Show me your phone. Phone, not so much, because with the phone, once you close your phone, all the apps close, it all disappears. The laptop, though, say open your laptop. And that will come up. But be careful, because you might see some mad, you know what I mean? poo porn. Do you want that in your life? Do you want to see the mad poo porn? I don't think you do. All right, next one, last one. Dear, my wife cheated on me with a maintenance man at work, and I was with, and I was the last to find out. It's all the cheating ones I'm doing today. Why? So I work at a restaurant. So as a restaurant manager for a hotel, my wife is the receptionist in the same place. So I can't work together, because when you have your workplace affairs, it's just in your partner's face, isn't it? That's where we met. Guys, you met at work. You live by the work relationship. You die by the work relationship. After arriving at work one day, I found a gaggle of the kitchen and waiting staff laughing and smirking at a video. Oh, they got caught on CCTV. This is mad. One of them nudged the other as soon as they spotted me, and they tried to carry on as nothing had happened. Later on, I demanded to know what was going on. The head waiter eventually showed me a video of my wife walking out of the storeroom, adjusting her skirt. Moments later, the maintenance team member walked out looking smug. It was obvious what they'd been up to, and the head waiter confirmed that all the staff knew about them. Jeez. I was so humiliated and angry. Right, I've contradicted myself. Okay, that's when you can be humiliated, when someone's cheating you, when everyone else knows. That can feel humiliating. And not a one where everyone else knows and they don't know how to tell you and they feel bad for you. One where everyone else knows, they're kind of calm about it. Like, what, you actually went for a drink with them? I was so humiliated and angry that I stormed home and demanded an explanation. Once she admitted the fling, I insisted she moved out of our home and back with her parents. Yes! Finally, a man and a woman splitting up and the man keeps the house. I'm pissed off. I'm sleeping on the sofa. No, get old. Devastated, I told my family and friends all the gory details about a betrayal. You do not want her back. You better not take her back. I'm telling you this now. If someone cheats on you, it doesn't have to be the end of a relationship. You can work through. You can work through most things in a relationship. But if you start telling everyone, that's it. It's done. Because if you then have a chat and you realise you love them too much, I can't live without you. And all your friends you told now have to be like, also, we just have to accept her back. Okay. All right. It's mad. It's fucking mad. I went back to work and told everyone she'd made a fool of me. The staff felt sorry for me. She regrets her fling and has begged me to take her back. But how can I? Now everyone knows about what she did. There you go. I'm a man of 40. My wife is 41. We've got one daughter, 12, and I thought we had a happy marriage. We were like ships that passed in the night, but I was happy. Now things are awkward at work. We both go out of our way to avoid each other, and they're even more difficult at home when she comes to spend time with our daughter. Jesus, listen. Just leave. It's fine. You made the right choice. You showed an amazing amount of backbone. Congrats to you, my friend. But yeah, you now have to leave. You now have to leave. You see, you just can't carry on. You can't carry on. It's too much. It's too much. It's too much. So you just have to leave. It's a tough one, but best thing to do. Because you've told everyone. That's the simple reason. Because you've told everyone. You have to leave. And maybe get some sympathy smash from, you know, one of the chambermaids. All right. That's the end of the pod, people. Nothing to plug. And that's it. All right. Peace.